We're back for season two.
Yes, it's bigger. It's badder. It's...
I'll just get on with it.
Bad scripts.
Hello and welcome back to Bad Scripts. And yet another special episode. And joining us, as always, the host with the most, the man I spend most of my evenings talking to, whether he likes it or not, Mr. Mike Garlia. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Steve. You look pained when you said that. You scrunch your face with your eyes closed. It looked painful.
I have a tell. It's one of those things. I can't play poker as a result because, you know, they can tell when I'm lying. But when we're doing it on a podcast and it's audio only, I can kind of get away with it.
Which part were you lying about? The fact that you talk to me every evening, whether I like it or not, or...
I'll leave it up to your interpretation.
Oh right, okay. We're doing that.
Think about it the way you want to. So, Mike, we're back for another special, as I mentioned, and a somewhat familiar face of the podcast is going to be joining us too.
A great friend of the podcast. And I actually look forward to these episodes because we've done a few runs of this series. And you know, the wit, the intelligence, the insight that this person brings is always so fundamentally important.
I know you said you were going to be nice about me in one of the episodes, but you don't need to butt me up this much. It's absolutely fine.
Steve, you know the mirror that you're looking into, that is called the epitome of narcissism, right there.
Right, okay, the irony of that comment. Anyway, no, in all honesty and in all seriousness, would you please introduce our special guest?
The wonderful, the amazing, the beautiful Alison Riley.
Hey, hello.
Hello, welcome back to the show. Yes, how many times is this now? Four, 5 times?
This is number three.
Number three.
He's never been good with numbers and he always exaggerates them.
It's true. This is true.
I have to ask now, Mike, you said you always look forward to these episodes. Do you not look forward to the usual ones?
Yeah, Mike.
The usual ones. You see, that's a very good question. I see, like I said, the insights you bring. Sometimes I don't. This is why we don't, like Steve and I have debated this, because we've got the friends that do podcasts and they keep saying, look, you got to start filming them. You got to go on camera and stuff. You don't want to see our faces when we're trying to do these lines and characters. That is horrible. And it's horrific.
No, I want to see that. I really, really want to.
Contorting your body into and trying to, honestly. So I don't know if we quite figured out how we would, how we make that crossing. But no, do you know, sometimes when you know you've got a few characters, a few accents coming up, and you know, as the table re goes, no, I start sweating. Yeah. This is lovely though, because this is just a conversation, a bit of a chat. So that's nice.
And for once, Mike's got a shirt on as well. So you know that straight away he's dressed up for us, which is nice.
Damn it! No, I think I understand the thing about not wanting to film, because you know, like if you said to me, "Oh, we're going to put this out," I'd be like, "Oh, I haven't done my hair. I've got no makeup on." And,
yeah,
you
know. I say the same every week. I think we plan on doing some video episodes. You know, when it's conversations like this, we're going to try and do a few more that are like that. But for now, we'll save the graces with just some audio for everyone out there. And today's episode, we really want to talk about. We've finished chapter two, finally, season two.
Yes, and obviously, well done. Good work.
And Ali, you've been kind of along for the journey from the beginning of this second season, and you came back after the first chapter, and now we've come back after the, I think we can safely call it, explosive second chapter, quite literally at times.
It was, wasn't it? And I was looking back because I think I mentioned when I was on previously, I came a little bit late to the party. You'd already done quite a few episodes, so I just binged all of them, and it was very easy to keep the storylines and the characters and everything in my head. Whereas this one, I've had to wait, and I mean, any time that you've been a little bit late for various reasons, I'm always messing up. Where's the episode?
I think that's just being told off there, Steve, isn't it?
It did feel a little bit like, how dare you? How dare you be ill? And how dare you have to go on whatever you had to go on?
I just felt like you needed to know that, you know, you need a bit of accountability there. Right. You know, even if it's just me nagging
point
you.
Point taken. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Quality control, you know, yeah. Making sure that you're doing what it says on the tin. but no, I've said it to you loads of times. I really enjoy listening to it, and it's part of my week. Or, you know, I like to listen when I'm cooking, or, you know, when I'm sort of taking photos of dresses. I've got videos of wedding dresses before I've put a sound over the top, and it's just got you guys.
that terrifies me that we're going out in a boutique somewhere and there's all these terrible stories about the behavior of of holiday entertainers.
It depends which part that it's on, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's what worries me. Suddenly somebody walks in unannounced and they hear something, and maybe I'll turn around and go back out again.
Alexa, Paul. but yeah, I think I sent you a video, didn't I? I'd done a TikTok video and forgot to put the sound on and posted it, and it was you talking. So I had to.
I've not heard that. So
yeah, I had to retract that and get it back. But yeah, the point I was making was that I was looking back thinking, I need to make some notes of what started, because I can't quite remember the beginning. And then I was like, gosh, it was June, wasn't it? It was June that you began. And I've sort of just written headings of things that I wanted to talk about. And I was like, flipping heck, Adam.
Oh, Adam. Adam
he's a lost boy, that one, isn't he?
He's a lost soul. I think as far as, it's interesting you brought up Adam, because there's been, I think for me, there's two characters that have transitioned, one in the right way and one in the wrong way. And I'll let you see if you can guess who the second character is. But Adam, the way we pitched him in the first series was the knight in shining armor, you know, the typical gentleman, you know, and stuff. And
well, he was based on you, wasn't he?
Not Mike particularly.
He was, based on what Mike wanted.
The ideal. But there's darkness there too. And, you know, we really wanted to exploit that this season and bring a lot of that darkness out. Yeah.
It's his baggage, isn't it? I think there's a lot. And, you know, it's getting too deep too early. As they sometimes say, we thought that, you know, that when you're in these situations, as we mentioned before, you don't know what people's history was. So there can be stuff gone on in people's lives that you've got absolutely no idea about, and that their persona wouldn't necessarily, you know, display. So, you know, I think we touch on that a little bit with Colin and Gary. And yeah. Gary's and the
two more, yeah.
the devil worshippers and what have you. So there's kind of that element that you don't know what's gone on with Adam in the past. Why is he so guarded and aggressive at times, but then caring and loving in others? And we didn't, you know, there's a big sort of
and a bit needy, isn't he? He's a bit needy. He's obviously wanting attention, which is why he's sort of flitting here.
Ali, why are you looking directly at me when you said that? Yeah. You even lean forward.
What is it they say, right? What you know? Isn't that what they say?
So, let's hear from you then, Ali. So you've obviously done some preparation, and you've got some questions or some thoughts or some ideas. Go for it. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, well, I've got a word for you. The word that I think sums up this series or this chapter is ambitious. It was very ambitious. You've got so many characters, so many storylines, so much going on. And, you know, it's like trying to keep track of it. Goodness me. You know, you're trying to make sure that every character's got an arc and everything's sort of happening. And, you know, I say Adam's the big one. It's like Adam and Sally, Adam and Ali, Adam and Robin, you know, all these different areas where Adam is kind of featuring. And then I was like, oh gosh, we've got Karen needing a wee episode. I loved that. Absolutely loved her having her moment. Missed her for the rest of it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like that's that's where she was. And, you know, but that was a really good episode. And I think it was quite relatable, not just in that environment, but I know that, you know, working in education especially, you can just get in a situation where you do not get to go to the toilet for a whole day. And but she was just, it showed a different side to her, you know, so caring. And
it was we felt it's very much like the unsung hero, you know,
because more than the comic relief.
Well, because Karen's been the instigator of problems in the past, accidentally and stuff, but she's no idiot, and she's kind of the glue that holds it all together in our minds anyway. And we kind of wanted to portray that a little bit and let you see beneath the veil a little bit of how things go and what value she really brings to the resort, to everybody, and why they all love her, why she's still there despite her little moments. And I think that was kind of, you know, we've all had days like that where you just, there's one thing after another, and just when you think you're gonna get 2 minutes to just, you know, go for a wee or sit down, something else comes up. Yeah.
I think we want, even when we were writing, we realized we kind of wanted to do something a little bit fun and a little bit different and do a bit of a right turn, just because if you think about where it's all going, you've got Bernie and Judy and that rivalry kicking off there, you've got other things going on, and it became very much focused on that dynamic. So Steve and I was talking, saying, well, we need to introduce a little bit of the resort's workings here. And we'd love Karen, you know, we track her on this journey of literally just going to the toilet, and the management team never know what she gets up to, because she just turns back up and sits back in the chair again, quietly getting on with it. And I think it was fun to write, because it gave me and Steve a bit of a chance to do something a little bit different with a particular reason, rather than it being all around Bernie's big show, or all around, you know, what's going on with, you know, some of the other characters and who's sleeping with who and who's falling out with who and stuff. It just had
a very different pace, and I enjoyed it. And I think the imagery of it as well, I don't know whether it's, again, because it's nostalgic and I can picture where you were talking about, but it was just seeing that backstage area and then going down the magic door and being, you know, where everything's happening. And I just think it was really nice, and it was almost like a Christmas special, or you know, that kind of thing where you've got a soap or something and they just completely go away from everything else that's happening and just show that moment in time. I thought you did that very well, boys. Well done.
Yeah, thank you. It's very kind of you to say. I mean, it does feel like a bit of a very different tone, and it was intentional. It wasn't like we just stuck that in there. There was definitely a feeling that we needed to just take a moment, take a breath from all the stuff, and then we could go back in again. But it's just that, that moment of reflection on all this stuff is still going on in the background. Despite the dramas, there's still a job to do. There's still people needing this. There's still lost kids. There's still, you know. So that was kind of, I think, our feeling that we needed to pull it back to being a holiday resort again, and not just a sort of soap opera.
And it's a window into the inner workings of what's going on. And it gives us a reason to throw in characters that we're not seeing a lot of. So in terms of, you know, Paula doing what she's doing, you know, Donna in the kids club, all of that's going to come to fruition in the third chapter in terms of what's going on there. And the reason why we haven't. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't give anything away.
I've written names with question marks.
No, good.
We can't give too much away.
No, but we can say this, and part of the idea of what we did with chapter 2, and it's interesting you called it ambitious, because it really was, and it was incredibly difficult to write and keep on top of. So we decided that chapter 1 builds up. Chapter 2 is a big, big story, which, you know, includes operational elements, the senior management, all that stuff. Chapter 3 is much more intimate. It focuses much more on the characters and what's going on with these characters, because we've left a few things unthreaded on purpose.
I'll let you off then. Okay.
So,
it was be like one of those sandwiches where I say something really good and then I give you a little bit of constructive. Really good stuff at the end.
A shit sandwich, I mean. Yeah, that's what they call it, isn't it? But no, I mean, that, like Mike says, it was very much, this was the big dramatic resort-wide stuff, and chapter 3 is going to be much more character focused, much more people's journeys, people's relationships, and the And there's still some fun to be had in there. Let's not forget that. There's still some more fun and some naughtiness that needs to occur that's perhaps been a little less prevalent in chapter two.
Yes, because I was really enjoying the whole Kelly Mushy Wayne stuff. Well, I say I was really enjoying it. I was slightly grossed out as well. but you know, the situation of that and they just disappeared, didn't they? Because
the
main story took over.
Well, don't worry, because the best on that front is still yet to come. We promise you, you won't be disappointed on that front.
Good.
But they're very much still in the mindset. And if you listen to them back to back, the episodes, it wasn't that long ago. It's just that because the scenes have a few weeks between hearing them, honestly, it's literally days difference. So it will make sense once it all comes to fruition.
Yeah, I'll let you off then. Yeah, because I really don't like Kelly, but she's somebody that I love to hate. And it's like, I would have almost loved her to have been in cahoots with Bernie, like thinking that she can get ahead with him. But then being
why didn't we think of that?
It was a possibility, wasn't it? Well, I think we did talk about it at one time, but we didn't want to just put all the baddies together. We wanted to have... And again, we sort of say Kelly's a baddie, but I think she's just...
She's just ambitious, isn't she?
Yeah, but self-absorbed a little bit.
Takes what she wants and stuff, but which is why I enjoy listening to her. But you know, I wouldn't want to work with her or be friends with her or anything. So I have worked with her in the past, I'm pretty sure. I'd be interested to see where that go. But like, I just love that Wayne got his moment. And
Bucky Wayne returns.
Yeah, that was just such a lovely moment. And, you know, I forgave him all his, like, licking peanuts and all the disgusting stuff that went on. And
we consciously humanized Wayne over this chapter, because we wanted to show, yes, he's still disgusting. Yes, he has some horrible eating habits. He's incredibly sarcastic. But we had to give a different dimension to him at the same time. Otherwise, we're just repeating his behavior.
Two episodes that he didn't eat.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, yeah. So
we started to move away from that. And this is all with a story arc in mind, because it's all planned out right to the end now. And so we know where he's going. We know what he's doing. And I think we just wanted to delve into, we'd seen him on face value as an arsehole who, you know, was sarcastic with everybody. He was disgusting. But again, in a similar vein to the other characters, it's layers. And is that an outward facing layer that we're all witness to? Is there other stuff going on?
Do you think that could be because of, like, because you've grown up now? So when you originally wrote it and you originally wrote Wayne, you were just looking at it from young people's point of view of a disgusting manager who, you know, was you know, just really gross. But as you sort of got older and you're writing it again, you're thinking there's more to a person than what we see at work. Or
I think so. I mean, Mike, I don't know what your thoughts are, but
I think it's more story serving. It made sense with where the story's going and where Wayne's arc has to go for that to play out, because we didn't want to, you know, he believes he's in a relationship with Kelly, and
bless him.
She doesn't believe she's in a relationship with him. So they're not communicating particularly well together. Mm. And she's obviously, her intentions are very different. And I think that by itself, because we've had other people write into us and say, I hated Wayne, but now I really feel sorry for him and I really like him. And he's had this like major kind of transition. And we always knew we were going to give him his moment in the sun, because a lot of that bitterness comes from the fact that he wanted to be the performer and he wanted to be seen as the best. He's not doing that anymore. He's in a management role. So he's actually a little bit, probably quietly and psychologically jealous over the other characters. So him getting to feed off that moment and going on that stage and the audience, especially those that would have recognized him, go absolutely crazy. You know, it's like this magic moment that we always knew that Wayne was going to get that moment before it comes crashing down.
I think as well, like for the newer coats and that, they wouldn't know what he'd done. They'd just see him as this, you know, manager, slobby manager. So for him to be able to go in and say, you know, not say, show, yeah, this is what I can do. Look how I can control,
blew them out of the water. And, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think people will have a lot more respect for Wayne.
See, and then this is the thing. I think he went into management, and bear in mind, this is someone we've made up, loosely based on someone, but
no, it isn't. Made up. It exists in an alternate universe.
Yeah. Went into management thinking this is the next step, but completely underestimated how much the performance side of it meant to them. And then to not do it, the frustration just develops into this sour and souring personality that then, you know, hides itself in food. So there's loads of other layers to Wayne, and he's probably one of the more fleshed out characters. Even though he seemed quite one dimensional, a lot of that was because he put up a front of sarcasm and grossness, and he was, you know, eating for comfort, and actually it was because he was missing something from his life that he had before. So, you know, maybe he's not quite the two-dimensional character we thought he was.
Very good.
We're getting so deep psychology. You know what,
no, I like it, because when I was watching Lost back in the day, knowing that they didn't know where it was going wasn't exciting. It just felt like they were taking advantage of the audience. So I feel like it shows that you've got respect for your listeners, that it does have direction and it does have a plan. And
yeah, everybody, you know, has an ending. It's gonna be like EastEnders when the plane crashes into the wall pack. Do you remember that? That's where we're going.
I never watched that, but it sounds amazing.
I think that's when they tried to get half the cast to rejuvenate the show. So what are we gonna do here? I know, we'll drop a plane on the farm.
It's the equivalent of restructuring in a business.
Literally. Yeah,
basically. How do we get rid of half of the cast but not really make it look like we're sacking everyone? Drop a plane on them. It's
drop a plane.
Is that so we had two. Chapter three.
chapter three. Yeah, well, if the laser didn't kill the show. But we had two big reveals at the end of this one.
Yeah.
Really keen to get your thoughts on either one of those reveals, actually. Which one resonated with you?
I think it was the return of our singer. Ooh. That was.
Did you see that coming?
No.
Was that?
No. No, not at all.
Literally the last line in the chapter made you go, oh, no.
And audibly, like in the boutique and just talking to myself. So, yeah, that was, I was like, oh, genius. That's really, really good. So, yeah, I like that's happening, because it's plausible. It is the sort of thing that happened. And, you know, Judy probably did have a hand in it, to be fair. And why should he know about it? Why should he have been told? You know, none of his business, really, is it?
Those connections you're making are scary, actually, in terms of did Judy have a hand in it and all that kind of stuff. So this was always happening.
Because I listen.
So, right from chapter one, right from the off, Sam was always coming back. We just had to find, and Steve and I debated a lot when we were writing when we should bring her in. And we decided, actually, we'll bring her into the third act, because that will drive a lot of the character drama that's going on. Because let's not forget, Adam still believes that she cheated on him with her ex.
Yes, of course.
She believes that Adam just ghosted her and disappeared off the planet and just dumped her, basically. So there's a lot of animosity between the two, blaming each other for how all of that ended.
And they're not going to communicate, are they, for a very long time?
No, look at what happened before. You know, and it's lovely that Sam no longer works in the sausage roll factory.
Yeah, I mean, that's
always
it.
Good.
And, you know, and we're going to, I can't give away too much, because we've already written the subsequent episodes, so we already know what's happening. So I can't say anything.
No.
Steve will just bleep me out if I say anything by accident. So that I suppose... And the main focus for the next chapter is really going to be between, you know, what's going to happen to Adam. We already know he's playing the game a little bit. He's, you know, he's with as many different women as he can possibly get his hands on. Sam has come back in the fray. That's going to regurgitate all of that feeling. I don't think she's going to be thrilled about him either.
No.
And
I mean, she obviously knew that he was still there, but... Yeah. but I don't know, feel like it's
find
like,
him like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, and we see that Sam's obviously moved on because she was with the guitarist who came and gave her a bit of a kiss on the cheek, and so some time has passed. You know, we're talking sort of 7 or 8 months since their Christmas breakup. But yeah, the way in which Adam has behaved, and you know, we can speculate about whether Donna has sort of in her chats with Sam has mentioned any of his behaviors and what he's up to, whether curiosity is you know, how's everybody, how's Adam, you know, just as a
Donna doesn't strike me as a gossip.
No.
And I don't think that Sam would have asked, so I get a feeling that there wouldn't have been any, like you say, how's everybody? Everybody's fine.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of
we'll see
where it would have gone.
No, but I, and again, it's, you know, there's a lot of resolution needed there if people are to move on, you know, but we'll see. Will it be resolved, or will there be, you know, differences beyond being able to talk it out? Who knows?
I've got to say though, Ali, I'm delighted that that you enjoyed that element. You enjoyed that kind of, honestly, because that's exactly the impact we were hoping to get when we made that. You know, so you know, we got Donna saying that, you know, she's late, and Dan dealing with that, and then that. So two things happen really, really quickly, which by and large are not connected to the main story of the show, but they're there for a reason, because it's going to drive the next run of episodes. Everything is all mapped out, like as Steve keeps saying. But again, another question for you. Bernie, what do you think?
I'm not massively surprised. I mean, you know, he was always a bit of a knob, wasn't he? So, you know, him leaving them in the lurch, I'm not surprised that he'd do that. He didn't have a show from the beginning, did he?
No.
He had to steal the ideas. He's, you know, been sort of stalling the whole time. Oh, and the way that he treated poor Robert, and that was just not cool. But yeah, so I love that he got caught out. That was and you know, with Glenn, isn't it? Not Alan.
Glenn. Yeah, Glenn was the one that.
So we wanted so again, this was
to get the mafia on him.
Yeah, well, that's, we want to intone that Glenn is dangerous without being obvious that he's dangerous. So that big speech we wrote for him, I think that was our Tarantino moment, was channeling a little bit of Tarantino into it, you know.
I got that, yeah.
And you got that.
And I think, but I think that's an interpretation thing as well, that Glenn knows what Bernie's like. And Glenn might not necessarily be much of a gangster, but he knows he's tough enough to scare Bernie, and Bernie's a pussycat, really. He's all mouth, and he knows as soon as he shows any kind of aggression that he crumbles. So he's kind of gone, oh, I've got the measure of you. So even if he isn't really the big time gangster man, or doesn't have connections, he's acted tough, and that was enough to scare Bernie. So
I think he does have the connections, though, you know, being in the position that he's in, having bought such a huge resort, you know, that's going to have taken a lot of money. Where did the money come from? And, you know, where did he come from? So yeah, I think, I mean, I know you wrote it, so you can tell me tell me that he isn't a gangster, because it's your guy. But
yeah, well,
I think he is.
We'll see on that front.
He's not going to be sending, you know, again, Steve and I discussed, how do we deal with Bernie? We knew he had to have this downfall, so we always knew this was going to happen. We knew he was going to plug these lasers in, that the result was going to black out. We knew that Judy essentially has to step in to save the day. Yeah, so, but we didn't, I think the big thing was, how do we get Bernie, like, Bernie, should Bernie just leave and just go? And then it becomes this rumor of Bernie's gone, but it just didn't feel fulfilling enough. So we went back. Glenn has to be the one to kind of take him down.
It was one of those moments where I could see it so clear. Like, you could imagine what it would be like if it was on a TV show or a film. You can just see this bumbling sort of man who's fallen from grace with his suitcases and a scarf around his neck and, you know, just sort of trying to sneak off. Just really, you could just imagine it.
Oh, so let me ask you a question, because we've never actually explained and gone into any detail what Bernie's show was.
No, you didn't, did you?
What do you think his show is? So in your mind, you're a creative, in your mind, what do you think that show was?
Crikey. Do you know what? I don't think it even occurred to me. You know, like, because like you say, you didn't talk about it. And yeah, no, not a clue. I mean, that I've got Wombles in my head. He was talking about Wombles at one point. And, you know, but I just, really, the image that I have of the show is more just about the costumes and the dancers. And, you know, because we had Daisy at the beginning, didn't we, talking about the costumes, and he was trying to get around her. And so more of an image of what the visuals look like, but the actual content, not a clue.
And that is exactly where Ali's coming from. So Ali being that voice of reason all the way through it, saying he keeps changing it, he can't make his mind up, everyone's really lost, but they're just kind of going with it. We wanted to give her a bit of a voice around all of that. And then Robin to gravitate towards her, because Robin is just being messed around with. He's just, you know, he doesn't really have any purpose. He's meant to be the understudy, but it's almost pity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a little bit of, well, we know Judy wants him, so I'll take him so Judy can't have him.
Yeah.
You know, and that sense of that. And I think what you were saying before about the show not really having any story to it, I think it was kind of, it was always, because that wasn't the important thing. It was the relationships. It was the struggle to get the show there. And so the actual content of the show didn't really matter, because that was kind of happening in the background. And we didn't want too much focus to be on the specifics of the show. And you'll probably notice we did the same in season one with the boy band. You never really saw them perform.
No,
it was always, they start the routine, and then the next time you saw them, they were just finishing. So there was never the big focus on them doing the thing.
Lazy writing, Steve, that's what it is.
Well, you could say that. But I just think that, but I think of this because it's visual, it's an audio product now, and it's something that essentially you're reading or you're hearing. I think it gives more to the audience if their imagination's involved and we're not too prescriptive about what they're doing, that you can almost imagine the show in your mind.
Yeah, I mean, my diary, I was sort of reading through trying to find bits and pieces that might be of interest or relatable. And, you know, I'm talking about a show that we're about to put on, and there's no mention of the music or the steps or anything like that. It's just, we've got 10 costume changes and we've not practiced them yet, and we're going up tonight, and you know, that kind of thing. So, and when you're listening to something, as we are, you don't need that nitty-gritty.
I think that was the intention. You know, we wanted to,
but if it goes onto a film, you're stuffed.
Oh yeah,
someone else's problem, Alec. Yeah, someone else's problem.
That's when we need choreographers and stuff.
I'll choreograph.
Yeah. I thought we might lead you into that one.
we tried to do some fun things as well. The whole celebrity thing. Me and Steve spoke a lot about that, and trying to make it as funny as possible. The sleeping with the stars marketing.
That was funny.
All right. Okay. Here's
Annika Rice, wasn't it?
Annika Rice is one. Let's see how many you can remember. So we got Annika Rice.
God, I haven't written them down.
Do.
There we go. Richard and Judy. And they
Richard
wanted,
and Judy, yeah, but they come as one.
They separate, but they came as one. I want to say Mr. Motivator, but it wasn't, was it?
No, but that was a good shout. We did talk about him.
We forgot, yeah, did we?
The cow had
Moo was one, there.
Didn't it?
Moo was there,
had
yeah.
The room. Oh, damn it, I can't remember. Give me a clue.
Somebody who's going to be there. Yeah.
Oh, Frank Bruno.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was a few weeks ago.
It was a runner. Somebody who got an Olympic medal, maybe.
Oh.
Chris.
Oh, Chris Akabuse.
Yeah, he was one too.
Great name. Great name.
Yeah, it is a great name.
He's the sort of guy you'd want there, I think, as well. You know, if you were filming it now, he could probably still, he still looks the same as he did back then. I think he could still be in it, you know?
Yeah, but sleeping with the stars, it was like, you have the people in TV shows and stuff that are always saying inappropriate things but just don't hear it, and that was an instance of that, wasn't it?
We had to toe the line on that one, because we could have got the puns we would come. I mean, we got during the discussion phase of that, obviously we got a little bit naughty and we put a few little comments in there, but we had to just stay away from the whole U-tree thing and all.
Yeah.
It could have gone gone down that route, you know, with
we talked about celebrity. Yeah. Didgeridoos and medal, you know, and fixing it for people, and you know, and you go, we just can't. Not now.
Well, too soon. It's too soon.
It is still too soon, isn't it? Yeah, but no, that would have been very of the time, wouldn't it? So,
and that whole thing that Glenn's talking about as well, and again, this was a conscious thing. This is why I love doing this. We get to explain our thinking around it. Glenn's talking about historical resorts and the British holiday industry and wanting to move it forward. And this whole thing about Bernie, his show, it moving forward, embracing the future, you know, West End style, high value production, blah, 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 all that stuff. And if you think back, Glenn even himself doesn't quite get it. He doesn't get that people just want familiarity and they want to know what they're getting. And that whole, you know, we got to embrace the future. People want to go to Spain instead, you know, and we're going to revolutionize this place. It's actually the people who are familiar that save his bacon when it all goes wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. That was very clever, that, actually. And yeah, not listening to what the people want, but saying they're doing what the people want.
Yeah.
And, I think it's that misconception that you have to change everything, you know, and when you, and they're not trusted just because things might not have gone as well the season before as they thought, they sort of basically dismissed all of the Ents guys. They were still there, but their ideas were muted and they were pushed to one side. When actually they're the ones who know their audience, and they were the ones that understood what putting on a show that would get people out of their seats and get people dancing and cheering. And we see that with Judy's first show, when the cast went to see it and thought it was going to be a disaster and they saw the reaction. I think that was a little bit of a shock for them. But then when Wayne gets up there especially and starts doing his thing, and, you know, we talked about this before, Mike, didn't we? You know, the number of old comics that used to come to our resort and they would tell the same old jokes.
Oh, they were off, you could stand up and do the set for them, couldn't you? Because you'd heard it that many times.
The audience would be crying with laughter for the same old jokes they'd heard 1,000 times before. But it was just, they knew how to read the room. They knew how to deliver it. Yeah, and people were happy.
This is why like TV programs like Shooting Stars or even A League of Gentlemen, they have the same jokes every week, every single week. And, you know, the part of the fun of it is knowing that joke is coming.
Mm.
You know, it's comfortable. It's safe.
Yeah.
You know, you know what you're getting and you get it. So, I think that you don't have to reinvent the wheel, do you? And I think maybe we all lived through that a little bit in the past, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And we've kind of made an extreme version of our resort, but there was elements of that we felt that had been sort of mirrored in what we wrote.
Yeah, and things did revert back. You know, you guys were there the first year when everything was sort of being reinvented. And I came in a little bit towards the end of that when they were going back more towards Judy's kind of show.
Yeah,
yeah.
As well as the West End versions, obviously. They ran alongside, but they had completely got rid of that previously. Yeah. So,
Well, we also, as inspired by you as always, Alison, we also factored in a head girl this time. We still don't know how a head girl gets picked and what they do. You know, I just love the idea, you know, some of the things that you've spoke about in past episodes from your diary have made its way into the show. Did you recognise any of those elements?
Yeah, of course. I thought you were actually quite generous and she wasn't quite as mean as...
I wasn't quite sure about the voice. I don't know if you noticed, she was a little lispy on
Yes.
I'm running out of accents. Give me a break. Come on.
I was like, Mike, you know, if we write scenes for this, you've got to sustain this. And I thought, if you try and do this and Judy,
she broke her ankle. She's done.
Laryngitis.
She's finished.
You know,
she's finished. She chose Bernie. Bernie.
You make it sound like she's a racehorse. She's broke her ankle. That's it. She's going to be taking that back and shot.
No, I did notice that, and I appreciated it. It's that weird thing again as well, though. Like, sometimes I'll just be listening to the podcast when I'm going around a supermarket, and then I hear Ali, and I'm just like, oh, me. Talking to me. And I, you know, sort of, I do have to remember it's a character, and it's not completely based on me. Yeah. But I like her, and she's very nice, so I do.
She's got morals, and she leads by her values. And
I like that she stayed. You know, when she's like, "We're going to stay and we're going to sort this out," and
she stepped and up. Again,
and Adam messes it up as well. Adam has an opportunity with Alison, and he messes that one up as well. And I think we were keen to show that. But I'm going to harp about some feedback you gave us a while ago, and you said that in the original series we really underserved the female characters. And so we've been really conscious about that. And feedback, who have we underserved this time? So who have we undercooked as far as characters go that you would like to see a little bit more of going forward?
Do you know what? I'm going to say something now, and you need to take it as a compliment, not a criticism. I didn't notice how much more you'd included the women. And that's a good thing, because I noticed when they weren't included, but when it was more equal, it just felt right. You know, it's not an insult. I'm not saying like, oh, I didn't notice it, but it felt more equal. So it's only now that it's like, oh yeah, of course you did. Undercooked. I mean, I would have liked to have seen Karen a little bit more through it, I think. And as I say, maybe Kelly, I mean, I'm sure you've got plans for her anyway, but I just feel like if she'd been in cahoots a little bit with Bernie, or maybe the head girl, like sort of sucking up to Bernie, trying to, you know, get favour, get, you know, be the number one. And then when he's gone, she's kind of like, oh, where does that leave me? You know, I'm a bit stuck now. So, but no, I feel, you know, you've said that this isn't the end. This is, you know, you've got a continuation where characters that we haven't seen as much will come back. You know, Mushy, I like Mushy. I think he's funny, and
His drunken behaviour earlier.
He's a bit of an airhead, isn't he, Mushy? He's just a bit of a. There's a lot of air in there, isn't there?
It's harmless, isn't it? Yeah. So
he's happy-go-lucky kind of guy. I think he's just there enjoying himself.
Yeah. Oh, is he enjoying himself? I don't think he. I think Kelly is abusing that relationship.
No, but I mean in general, I think the occasional booty call that
he's
he receives
just an
from
easygoing kind of guy, isn't he? Do you know what though? I've just realised it's like you've got loads of different characters, but I'm just sort of focused on the Ents one, which is very much what we were like and what you've said. So you've got the cleaners, you know, you've got Paula, you've got Colin and Gary, and you've got people that do other jobs, and I just don't focus on them as much because it's not where my interest lies. Isn't that terrible?
No, I think it's good insight, because that's the part of the story that you're gravitating towards, you know. And you're right, we have, like, Colin and Gary are just their mainstays. They don't, and we made a decision. We can create a few fun scenes to reveal a bit more of their past, but they don't need a character arc. They're just there. Same as Daisy. They're just there. You know, they're just, they serve the story when they need to be there and stuff.
They serve the customers when they need
to. They do. Well, and then you've got, and I wanted to show more of an operational element as well, which Steve and I spoke about. And that's why we introduced John, because it's not all about entertainment. There's a whole other piece that goes on around the running of that. Yeah.
I did enjoy the backstage crew, you know, the backstage people when you were talking, because actually they were quite a big part of our lives, weren't they?
Yeah.
And you know, the people doing the lighting, the people doing the sound, the people doing the backstage, you know, and actually the band were a big part of our life. You know, though we were very lucky because they don't have that kind of thing anymore. Mm. You know, and we had resident bands in two venues, didn't we? And they had a dressing room next to us and they were as much a part of everything as we were. So hopefully we'll get to know the band a little bit in the next...
We've got the Slovakians. We need to finish off there. You know, we need to introduce them in there. They're just kind of there at the moment. They're going to come to the fruition, as well as the band and then some of the characters that we know and love. So there's lots to look forward to.
The whole daughter thing, wasn't there? Was that this chapter? Or was it the last one?
That was the very end of chapter one, wasn't it? When
right, okay.
I'm trying to remember back myself now. You're putting us on the spot. Where they're playing
just
Monopoly.
Edit that out, it's fine.
Where Wayne and Wayne and Karen are playing Monopoly, where they're waiting while the Slovakians rehearse.
That's right.
And he makes a comment, doesn't he, about the daughter, Natalia, was it? And sort of says, oh, you know, I wouldn't mind going there. And
the doorway, isn't he, listening?
Yeah. And I think that's the other... conversation around is when we were talking about Glenn and his gangster-like behavior.
Yes.
Whereas actually, do we know anything about the Slovakians and their behavior and what they're getting up to, you know, their family? We don't know anything about them really, other than they're there and they perform. So
there's so many like little pockets of people and stories and areas. I suppose it's quite difficult to include everything and go, right, we need to follow this and include a little bit. But
it is to try and keep the pace of the story and then make sure we're not leaving anyone out and sort of forgetting about anyone. It is a balancing act. And it does feel like juggling at times that, you know,
I was
we haven't
say juggling,
seen...
especially with the accents and voices, and you know, if you've got everybody in, oh, please do a scene with everybody in at the end. That would be
God. you're making me nervous. Can you imagine everybody speaking and doing all the accents? It's like oh
just
my
bouncing
goodness.
Around. That's the most stressful part for me. I think, and then trying to remember which accents which.
But this is the thing: when we write, Mike, we write the characters, and we're not thinking about the fact that we're going to have to do one Geordie next to a Scotsman, next to a Welsh person in the same conversation as the same person, which is the really hard part. And you go,
yes,
I should have thought
that really
through.
That's the really fun part. Really fun. If anyone's listening who wants that to happen, back me up.
I must admit, and this is some of my evilness coming out here, when we start writing scenes, because a lot of the time Steve and I don't write together, just because there's just not enough time for us to sit there staring at a screen. When I'm writing some of the scenes...
Apart from on a Friday night,
yeah, which we won't talk about. But I do laugh when I'm writing. I think there was a scene I wrote with Bernie, Glenn, a lot of narrative and a lot of exposition. And I just laughing to myself going, Steve's got a hard job to do. It's literally him from start to finish.
You did a tremendous job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Do you know what though? I've said to you before, I don't hear you two when I'm listening. I hear the characters and I couldn't tell you who does what.
Brilliant.
I don't know. So.
Well, that's very nice to hear. I mean, obviously we write scenes individually, but then we'll each go in and do some little minor edits to get the character voice. And if we voice it, sometimes you kind of go, oh, that doesn't really sound like the word I would say. So I change it to, or Mike does the same, and we think, oh, there's a really good line that'll go in there. So instead of us sitting down together all the time and writing, which is really time consuming and not always possible when we're, you know, leading our lives as well, trying to get things done, we found that the best way to try and get that work complete, get it done, because we did that silly thing of finding a really labor intensive podcast to make that requires us to write a script.
Well, it didn't at first.
No,
did it seemed like a really good idea. We have this script, let's just read it. But I guess you didn't anticipate that, you know, people would want more and more and more, and you just have to keep going, I'm afraid.
Just never ends. It never... We've been doing this series, has been going on since February, by the way.
On behalf of all your listeners, I want to say thank you, because we appreciate it, we enjoy it, and yeah, you're part of my life now, so you can never ever stop.
Well, I mean, plans are afoot for what happens next. I can't say any more than that. I can't say anything else about that, but where things are going from next.
Be kind to yourself, and you know, maybe do some episodes like you did the film club and stuff like that. It doesn't have to be following the storyline all the time. It can just be sort of bits on each character, because we just like listening to you. And
well, you know, we're going to be in the same room as one another, the three of us, in February when we meet.
For the first time in how many years?
I think that many. Yeah. But we'd love to do a film version of this with us there. So we'll definitely start talking to you about coming in, and that'll kind of nicely round off the last season. But before we get there, it would be remiss, Alison, to not say, do you have any more golden nuggets in your diary that you could share with us?
I should have had it open ready, shouldn't I? Right. So I was reading through, and there's a lot of moaning, to be honest. I was a right misery. There's more lists. You like my lists, don't you? Hang on, let's have a look here. So today's my first day off. Right, hang on. This is the 20th of the 2nd, 01. Today is my first day off, and I'm not going to get another for 16 days. I hope the next three pass quickly, because that will mean that it's time for my boyfriend at the time to come home. Next door, I'm making loads of noise as usual and listening to crap music. My mum and nan came today, and I had a really nice time. Did loads of shopping, bought stuff for our home. I painted the bathroom blue. Did you ever do that when you're in the chalets, just like paint your walls?
No. Why would you do that?
Yeah. That's weird. It's like, yeah. I'm just going to stay in this hotel. I'm going to paint while I'm here.
I'll tell you why. It says it looks much better. So that's why. I went round to this person's, so one of the dancers, I went round to her room to watch a film, but went home because I was tired. I wish I'd stayed though, because I won't sleep with all the noise. So talking about noise all the time. Let's go. A bit about the head girl here. So I've been here a month now, and the shows are really coming along. I have learnt The Funky Show, Gospel, Panto, most of Chartbusters, most of West End, but I've still got loads to learn. Tomorrow is the tech and dress of Panto. I am a man and a bloody mouse in a tutu. I'll give you a bit of a backstory there. So my granddad unfortunately died, and I had to go home for his funeral, and they were casting for Panto. They didn't take into account that I was shorter than most of the other dancers, and just cast me as a man in Panto. So I've got photographs of me with all, there was only sort of one male, I think, male dancer. The rest were girls. And then, I was just this little man and a mouse. It's not too bad. I think it's funny, but one of the other girls hates it. I can't wait until I'm performing for real. That's what I really enjoy doing, and choreographing. That's my ambition. Oh, bless me. The noise levels have not really improved, so I'm going to sleep while it's quiet. Just another quick one here. So today's been my day off, but I feel I need to record one of the events from the other day. Cutting a very long story short, two of us were late back after dinner, and the head girl was stressed about the amount of shows we needed to learn and clean. Oh, did I read this one before? So she shouted at us, and I didn't agree with what she was saying and answered back. She had a huge go at me, saying she's head girl and I've got to respect her. There's a bit here about me being ill, and I was told that I had to go into work, even though I had an ear infection. I'd got a sick note, but the Judy character said that I had to go into work for 9 o'clock, and we were rehearsing from 8:45 a.m. to 8:15 p.m. The reason being that two of the lads were leaving. Bear in mind, we'd only been there 2 months. We hadn't even got the shows up. Two of the lads are leaving and we needed to video the shows for the new people. At the moment, there's another choreographer here teaching us summertime salsa. After she found out that I used to be a cope, for some reason, I'm in none of the difficult dances. Funny that. I was upset, but it made me more determined not to be here next year. I'm rather annoyed about being treated like shit and like I'm stupid and I can't dance. And then I slag off one of the dancers because I've only got a GCSE in dance. I believe a BA honours beats that. That's what I've said. Like, it's a competition. Who's got the highest qualification?
Top trumps for you there. I think you win that one.
Okay, so I've just got a little bit here. So this is a positive one because there was a lot of moaning negative ones, but this is a positive one. So 24th of the 4th, 01. So moved on a little bit. Now I remember why I love this job. I've been having such a crap time at work with long hours from 10 in the morning till 9 at night, nasty bitchy comments, I effing hate this cast, they are crap, etc. But tonight has made it all worthwhile. I did my first show as a dancer, the Steps tribute. I learned it in 4 days, the whole show, because the head girl is injured. About 2,000 people were watching and it felt fantastic. After the show, everyone told me I was amazing and I know that I performed it well. I can't wait to do more. So there you go.
Yay, nice, well done.
Now, Ali, I have to say something.
Go on.
I remember watching that show.
Do you?
And you were amazing. And I remember you looked just like Claire from Steps.
I did look like
Your hair was
Claire
done up in the same way. I can picture it right now in my head. I remember watching you in that show.
I wasn't there then. And I think that I didn't see it as a tragedy. Sorry.
Boom.
You know.
Oh, thanks for watching. yeah, it was the Steps tribute was my absolute favourite thing to do. We used to do it twice a week. We did it once in the main venue and then we did it once in the pavilion. And it was unexpected because there was 4 female dancers, 2 female singers and the 2 male singer dancers. So there was only actually 2 of the dancers in it because you had the female singer and they used to rotate it. So there was a chance I wouldn't have got to have done it for a long time. But because she'd injured herself and because I'd been there the previous year as coach, it was actually in my favour because I'd seen the show so many times. Mm. I knew a lot of the choreography and I was obsessed with Steps. So
it was a fun show though. It was one of those, it was an incredibly fun show and you looked, I can see it. I closed my eyes. I can see you right there.
I had abs and everything.
You did.
He was very appreciative.
Yeah, that one. But you look. I mean, I remember watching you and thinking you could literally be in this band. You know, you could pluck one of them out and just put you straight in it, and you would just look at home.
Thanks. I could now. They're still touring, and you know, I do still look a little bit like Claire. So
I was going to say his H is. Yeah. You never know what we talk about. Like the resurgence of the sort of late 90s, early noughties pop stars now, and the big all the reunions happening. You know, it you do wonder if are there a lot of tribute acts out there that are sort of coming back on, you know, going back on the road and doing it. You know, like
I do have a friend that's in a Britney tribute. You know, and Britney's like from way back when, isn't she? Mm, she's not really doing anything now, so you know, people are still enjoying the music. And I mean, like you say, tragedy, Steps off some banging tunes and,
absolutely.
You know, I think people would still enjoy them. So I don't think I've got the stamina, to be fair. And I certainly don't have the voice.
and also half of them are former camp coaches as well.
Yes, they are.
There you go. And then, of course, on the last week's episode, we had Rhea from the Fast Food Rockers talking about her number 2 they got. You know, when we did the research, I was like, Steve, do you know that they've had like 3 top 10 hits, you know?
That's one of my claims to fame, that I worked with Rhea from the Fast Food Rockers, because you know, being a dance teacher, we with the younger ones, we used to do party dances for fun. I mean, if I knew how many times I'd done Superman or you know, Music Man, I'd love to know, because it must be in the thousands. But yeah, the Fast Food Rockers, their main song is one that we used to do regularly. And I'd go, Oh, I used to dance with her. And actually, I've got a picture of me as the mouse that I was talking about earlier. And Rhea was Cinderella. So I've got a picture of me stood with her and I'm being the mouse. Yeah. And I was her understudy as well, actually, in the pavilion.
In the show that we were into, yeah.
In the show that we were in together, yeah. So, and I was kind of hoping she'd leave so I could take her place.
Could take that place.
And funnily enough, you talk of the fun times with the choreographers. That was part of the reason she even went and did that. So, you know, I mean, all those stories will come out. I'm sure we'll all talk in person more about this, and I'll probably cut this from the edit. But yeah, it's interesting how things sort of come around and go. But no, I think
I'm looking forward to listening to her episode. I am. I liked Rhea. We were.
Yeah, it looked like she could just slip back into it now, didn't it? It was crazy. Mm-hmm. So.
Anyway, right. So
back into the show.
Back into the show. Ali, thank you so much for sharing some of those diary excerpts for us. I'm sure there's more in there to mine from as we continue on. But I've got to ask you a question, and it's the same question we kind of ask every time we bring you on. Thoughts then on this last run of episodes. So you said at the beginning that it was ambitious. How would you summarize the experience of listening to this unfolding story? Are we going off piste? Are we on the right track still? Were you disappointed by any elements?
Oh gosh, how many questions was that in one sentence? Crikey. you know I love it. You know I love it. I just love it. You could just do anything and I love it. So I really enjoyed the story. I enjoyed where it went. I loved that Judy redeemed her, you know, well, not redeemed herself. She was always the top dog and she always put the shows together and she was pushed aside, you know, for Bernie and for her to be able to come back. Because, you know, I see myself as Judy in the show, don't you?
Absolutely.
So, you know, for her to come back and go, right, we've got this amount of time, we've got to put a show together. And she just did it, you know, and that's what it's all about. And I love that.
Do you think that she knew something was going to happen? She'd had Wayne's stuff put backstage.
Oh yeah, she had, hadn't
you,
she?
You start to wonder, don't you? What did she know that?
She's known from the beginning, you know, that he had no ideas. It was all going to fall apart. And obviously at some point she's just gone, well, do you know what? I'm just going to crack on with my show, but I've got this ready. Just in case. And, you know, as a choreographer, you've always got stuff going on up there. There's always sort of something you can pull out of the bag. But to actually have Wayne's stuff ready and to get Sam in, and she's like the brains behind all of it, really, isn't she? Maybe her with Karen as a sidekick, just running the whole place.
Who knows? Why not? Why not?
Well, I hope you two know.
Well,
yeah,
we'll see,
yeah.
So,
did I answer all your questions? That was a lot of questions.
You did.
Was I disappointed? No.
Well, I'm glad, and we're glad. So, like it's been a, you know, this has been a whole ego run for us, by the way. Just getting you on.
Me
and
too.
About the show and just making our heads go
no,
big.
No, and that's why we genuinely ask if there's anything you would change and stuff, because we don't just want people to come on and tell us they love the show, because that's not what it's about. We genuinely enjoy the feedback. If people go, you know what, so and so didn't really work for me, or I didn't really like who, I don't like who this person is, and what have you. A question yeah.
Sorry, go on.
No, you're fine. Go on. No,
I was just going to say, like, in summary, cleaners and bar staff can take them or leave them. Fine that they're there, but, you know, not really following it very much. The minor characters, Mushy, those guys, like to hear about more of them. You know, I think Kelly can afford to be a bit more of a bitch, and I think that's okay. I don't think you have to worry about doing a female a disservice. You've got plenty of strong women in there, so, you know, you can drag her through the mud a little bit. And yeah, can't wait to see what happens with Wayne, actually. I think, you know, that's really interesting to see where he goes. And like you say, we were talking about earlier, the relationship between Adam and Sam, what's going to happen?
Yeah. So I think we asked you this at the end of season chapter one. Any speculation? Where do you think any of those points are going to go in chapter three. So me and Mike know what's going to happen, but as a listener,
to write it for you right now.
Let me just grab my pen and piece of paper.
Have you got the dictaphone running?
I've got the paper here right now. Right, go.
Yeah, so I'm scribbling away. But no, I mean, I'd be really interested to see if what we've written marries up with what you think is going to happen. So have you got any speculation about how things are going to go in the third chapter?
Well, I think, you know, Judy does need a bit of recognition that she's pulled it all together, and, you know, but maybe that takes her away then from choreographing, because when you're managing, you're not actually doing the role that you, I think a lot of people find this in any job, don't they? You're really good at your job, you become a manager, and then you're not doing that job that you love anymore. I think maybe for Robin needs to get his opportunity to perform, but, you know, like what happened for me, because he was a co, doesn't get the respect or the opportunity, even though he's cast, is still not really getting it. You know, it might be interesting for Ali to finally get the dance captain job, but actually find out that you have to be a bitch. It's the only way that you can get people to do anything. You know, that's very generous of me to say that, to be fair. But I was dance captain once and I was lovely. But, you know, maybe that's something she could do. Wayne, I think, to see him be able to have a bit of glory and people respect him, and Kelly sort of be pushed out, you know. And the pregnancy as well. Oh my God. you know,
you said anything about pregnancy. I don't think we've ever used the P word, have we?
No, you didn't, but you said she was late.
Yeah. Late.
I think it could just be a scare. I don't know. Maybe go on to that on resort doctors and see if they can sort her out. I don't know.
So welcome to the writer's room, Ali.
Did you make the notes, Mike? That's the important.
I did. I got as much as I could.
Oh, but I did like sort of the backstage crew stuff as well. Maybe see a little bit more of them, you know, because they were a total breed of their own, weren't they? You know, always walking around in the cargo pants and the black polo shirts, and, you know, they really own the place. All the Ent staff think that it's their venue, but it isn't.
It would be nothing without the guys that make it happen.
No.
They'd be stood in darkness.
Yeah, and it does people, you know, something that I always do in whatever job I'm in, I always go and make friends with the cleaners, make friends with the receptionist, make friends with the backstage crew or whoever, because they are the people that, you know, if something goes wrong, they're the ones that you need to be friends with. And
Clearly that friendship paid off in dividends when they stuck in a chalet in between lots of noisy people. I think you need to go and have a word with these friends.
From that.
Making friends with the wrong people there, yeah. Is that the way it goes? We made friends with the fairground supervisor, and look where that got us.
Well, look, and now immortalised by name in our show.
I did enjoy that. Yeah, so we haven't talked about him. We could talk for hours, couldn't we? But yeah.
So you've heard us cover it in the show as well. A lot of that stuff that we're writing in are things that really happened. We're not just elaborating. It was like that whole thing where Adam's in the room with Sally.
Oh God, yes. Yeah. Oh, no.
That really happened. That really happened.
And to be honest, those scenes are pretty much verbatim the reality of the situation, honestly.
Oh, my goodness.
Even down to his name.
Horrific. I'd forgotten. Yeah. That was horrific. I blocked it out.
Yeah. Well, we've tried to, but, you know.
It's therapeutic to write it into the show. It's therapeutic.
It's cathartic.
There's more rapport to come.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Maybe choose different wording there.
Bad terminology there. There's more of Paul to explore.
That's no better.
It's not. Okay.
Look, as always, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on, Ali, and hopefully you come back at the end of the next chapter and we'll round off the entire season and see what you thought, whether what you thought would happen to our characters happens, whether that's the end of Camp Holidays, or whether there'll be more to come after that. I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
See how much you can be bothered to keep going and going and going and going. Oh, please keep going.
Well, thank you again for joining us, Ali. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. Be sure to tune in the next couple of weeks for Chapter 3 of Season 2. Until then, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you soon on Bad Scripts. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bad Scripts was written and performed by Mike Garlia and Steve Jones, a Beach Tide production.